This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We're going to conclude the series of Defy the Odds, and so let's stand on our feet if you're able. And we're going to read just one passage of scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll allude all around the story. It's ironic. I was just telling Pastor Amber as I was walking up, I was like, that song you just sang was perfect. And she said, well, I had that planned. I didn't even know that this was what you were going to be sharing. I had that plan before that, and I was like, look at God. You know, it's really amazing. So here it is. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37 says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Let's pray together. Jesus, I love you and I thank you for your presence. God, it's you who we need. God, we need you more now than ever before. As we said, Lord, I think we can look all around us and see the signs of the time. And God, we need you. So Lord, come, inhabit, Lord, our time together. God, you come and manifest yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about how to defy the giants in your life. How to defy the giants in your life. I heard the story about a man that was went to the doctor, and he was hurting all over. He was just upset and crying, and just really, it was the most painful thing he had ever been through. He was talking to the doctor. He said, Doc, I just hurt all over. He said, well, slow down a second. Why don't you just start pointing to where you're hurting? Let's just start there. And so he took his finger, and he pointed to his head, and the second he touched his head, he said, ow! He said, oh, my God, you really are hurting. He said, well, where else are you hurting? So he took his finger and he touched his chest and he screamed, ah! He said, my God. And so he said, well, where else? And he took it and he touched his knee and he screamed again. He touched his hip and he screamed again. And he just kept touching 4, 5, 6 different places. And the doc said, I think I know. He said, what is it? Am I gonna die, doc? He said, no, I think you've got a dislocated index finger. See, I know a lot of times it feels like we're hurting all over. I know that we feel like that a lot. If you're breathing, it feels like life is just one battle behind the next, right? It just seems like we move from one battle to the next battle to the next battle, and we ain't hardly got out of one before we've got another one. It's like, not again, God. Like, are you serious? Do I have to go through another one? It's like, really, God? We've heard the verse that God won't put on us more than we can bear, and we're like, God, you think way too much out of me. Like, you must be thinking highly of me. Like, think a little less. Like, reduce your expectations for me. I'm really weaker than you think. And like, it just seems like one battle behind the next in our life. And as tough as those battles are, and they are tough, the battles that we face, they are tough, but there are battles and there are times in all of our life where right in the midst of the battle, a Goliath shows up. Because see, the Israel was already in a battle against the Philistines, and right in the midst of the battle, a Goliath showed up. A giant showed up. Something that seemed impossible. Something that seemed immovable. Something that seemed unbeatable. A Goliath, something that seemed insurmountable. An obstacle showed up right there in the midst of the battle. And see, all people have giants. Everybody has experienced a giant. Now, yours may not be like David's. David's was a literal giant. The Bible records that he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. That's a big dude. Said he weighed over 500 pounds. This was a warrior of all warriors. This was a man who defied the whole army of Israel. The Bible records that just his armor alone was 125 pounds. It talked about his javelin, his spear that he held, of just how large it was. Even the tip of the spear, the Bible records, was 15 pounds. I mean, I'm trying to curl 15 and struggling. For real, that's a true story. He's chunking 15 like it's just darts. This was a massive man, a massive giant. And see, you may not be facing a Goliath like that. Maybe you're not facing a giant that's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Maybe for you, it's your health. Maybe for you, it's a diagnosis that you received. Maybe for you, it's your marriage, which seems insurmountable, that there's no repair, there's no hope. Maybe for you, it's your finances. There's no way to make the ends meet. We can't make it all work. Gas now just about to get to about $15 a gallon. There's no way to make it all work. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know what it is for you, but I know this, you have a Goliath. There's a Goliath in all of our lives. We're already fighting battles every day, just living life. Job said, man's but a few days and full of trouble. So that tells me we've all fighting a battle every day. But in all of our lives, there is a Goliath that shows up as if we needed just one more thing. A 9 foot, 9 inch tall Goliath shows up just to stomp us into the ground. And if we're going to defy the giants in our life, which we can, I want to give you some things that can help you just from this story. And the first thing is this: if we're going to defy the giant in our life, we're going to do it, first of all, with persistence. It's persistence. We've heard Pastor Benny say before that persistence is what got the snail on the ark. I think it's what got the sloth on the ark too. And everything else is slow. I mean, they just kept at it. You know, they had just enough time to get there. It's persistence. The dictionary defines persistence as to continue steadfastly, to last, to endure. And that's certainly what we see out of David's life. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we find that Samuel is going down to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. And he does just that. He anoints David as the next king. And he was a shepherd. He was keeping the sheep. And I would have thought, in my superior wisdom, I would have thought that when you anoint a king, you take him back to the palace. If he's young, he needs to be trained and developed and matured, and he needs to be helped, and he needs to be shown how to be the king, right? That's what you do. You apprentice him. You teach him. I thought you anoint the king, you take him back to the palace with him. For God's sakes, don't leave him in the field. But you know, that's exactly what he did. He left the king, the future king, in the field for 15 years. Not one day, one week, I'll be back for you next Tuesday, like, see ya. I mean, you have to think for a moment, over the next 15 years, I must have dreamed that. That really didn't happen. You know, he had to play with his mind like, was he kidding? Like, I'm still out in this field, it's year 12. Like, he may not even recognize me. I don't even look the same anymore. Like, I mean, can you imagine for 15 years? And hey, then you get the phone call on your Motorola standing out in the field and you're like, hello? Oh, the king needs me? I'm on the way. Oh, wait, bring my harp? What's my harp for? Oh, he just wants me to play it. Oh, he ain't calling me to be the king? Oh, okay. Yeah, that would really probably bother me. It's like, finally you get the call 15 years later, and you know what he wants you to do? Just play a harp. Sit over there, don't say anything, just play the harp. Keep your mouth shut. Play, boy, play. It's like, for real, I've been waiting this long. Now's my time, King. Step back. But it wasn't his time. But David didn't get like maybe I might. He just kept persisting and kept lasting and kept enduring and kept enduring. And finally, when he made it to the battle, guess what? He had bread and cheese in his hand. He was coming to serve his brothers. When he finally made it to the battle, he had bread and cheese in his hand. They weren't calling him to fight. They didn't even want him to be there. He was bringing bread and cheese. And so we find the king, the future king, just quietly serving, quietly enduring. D.L. Moody said this. He said, everyone dreams of doing big things for God, but nobody dreams of doing small things for God. We've heard the quote, if you will do what you can with what you have where you are, God won't leave you where you are, and he will increase what you have. It was Joel Osteen. For 17 years, he spent time behind the camera. He was the guy that was working on the camera. He was behind the camera for his father's ministry with no desire to step in front of the camera. But for 17 years, God knew what he was doing. God kept him behind the camera long before he ever stepped in front of the camera. See, if you're going to overcome your giant, it'll be with persistence. It'll be with persistence. And maybe you're sitting there saying, you know what? Well, maybe I could if somebody would just encourage me. Nobody encourages me. Nobody tells me I can do it. Nobody believes in me. Well, guess what? Nobody believed in David either. I mean, literally nobody. It's probably the saddest part of the whole story. Like, Samuel's going to go and anoint from Jesse's house, Jesse the father. He said, I'm going to anoint one of your sons to be the next king. He trots them all out but David. How do you think he felt? I mean, you're out there and it's just like, meh. Like, you're with the goats and the sheep and your other brothers are lined up. And all seven of them think, I'm the guy. But none of them were the guy. His own father didn't believe in him. It was Samuel that said, hey, Jesse, don't you have like one more son? Oh, no, not him. But hey, don't feel bad. His brothers didn't believe in him either. His brothers didn't believe in him either because they thought he was just an irritation. They didn't believe in him. They thought he was just coming to the battle just to get in the way, just to get right in the midst of everything that was happening. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 28, look at what it says. His brother Eliab, he was angry. What are you doing around here in the midst of the battle, he demanded. What about those, not a lot of sheep. It wasn't like he was busting it with like herds of sheep. It wasn't like he had sheep incorporated. Like, he was like, what you doing with them few sheep you've got? Because you're nothing, David. You're supposed to be taking care of those sheep. I know about your pride and deceit, his brother was saying. You just want to see the battle. You're just being nosy. You're just out here being nosy is what you're doing. His brothers didn't believe in him, but even the king didn't believe in him. The Bible records his interaction in verse 32 with the king. And David said this. He said, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. What did the king say? Don't be ridiculous. Like, you got to be kidding me. David, listen, bless your heart. You know, buddy, it's okay. You don't have to be so angry. It's okay. Listen, there's no way you can fight this Philistine. I'm sorry, but there's no way. You're just a little bitty baby. You're just a little boy. This is a grown man, David. You must not be able to see him good. He's big. It's okay, buddy. Like, I mean, even the king belittled him and talked down and made it out that he couldn't do it. But you know what David just said? I can. I can do this. If God be for me, who can be against me? David just kept on. Winston Churchill was once asked. They asked him, didn't you flunk out of grade school? And this is what he said. I didn't flunk. I was given a second opportunity to get it right. He just stuck it out. See, if you're gonna defy your giant, you're gonna do it with persistence. You're going to do it with persistence, even when everybody else says you can't do it, even when everybody else doesn't believe in you, even when you don't get the pat on the back, the hug around the neck, and the card, and the text, and the I love you, and the drop by your house just to tell you how great you are. Even when none of that happens, you got to persist. You got to keep going. You got to press forward. How do we defy the giants in our life? It's with persistence. But not only that, it's with perspective. With perspective. In 1 Samuel 17 and 8, Goliath referred to himself. He said, I am the Philistine champion. He referred to himself. He was reading his own press report. I'm the Philistine champion. David didn't call him that. Never once did David call him the Philistine champion. He never did. You know what he called him? Well, the Bible records that as well. He called him the uncircumcised Philistine who defied the armies of the living God. See, the circumcision was a big deal because the circumcision was an outward sign of a covenant relationship between God's people and him. It represented his power, his protection, and his provision. That God's power, protection, and provision resided with the circumcised person. And it did not reside with the uncircumcised. There was no covering over the uncircumcised. And when he said he's just an uncircumcised Philistine, he said, guys, he don't have God's power. He doesn't have God's provision. He doesn't have God's protection. We do. And this guy has not just defied us. He's defied the armies of the living God. See, his perspective shift. And he said, the battle's not mine. This isn't between me and that giant. It's between that giant and my God. And he's no match. He's no match for my God. You see, David's perspective, he knew that he could conquer this giant. And the problems that we face, you know, it's not so much about the people. See, we think we battle against people. We think our struggle is against this person or that person, or they did this wrong to me, or they said this about me, or they did that, and they talk about me in this, and there's my enemy, and I don't like that person. And we just think it's about a person. But you know, it's so much more than that. It's not even the person. It's spiritual warfare. You know that it's really deeper than that. And Paul told us about it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, when he said that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world. There's something going on that you can't see with your eyeballs. There's a spiritual war that's taking place. There's a spiritual war. In Numbers chapter 13, we remember the story about Moses. And Moses was sending the spies into the land of Canaan. And there were 12 spies that went into the land. And 10 of those spies came back and said, we can't do it. Those people are dangerous. We can't take the land, Moses. I know God said we could take it, but we can't take it. He was kidding. He didn't see how big those people are in that land, how tough they are. They are warriors. We can't take them. But there were two. There were two of those 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, that came back with a different report. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 9, we see their report. And they said, do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. Why? Because they have what? No protection. They don't have the covenant. They don't have the circumcision. They don't have the relationship with God. They don't have the power, protection, and provision of God. They don't have it, and we do. And it's about perspective. It's about perspective and shifting our perspective. Abraham Maslow said this. He said, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. You see, the battle wasn't between David and Goliath. The battle was between the God of all creation and the godless creation. It was between the God of all creation and a godless creation. And I'm here to tell you that whatever you're facing in your life, it's not between you and that Goliath. It's not between you and that giant. That giant has to reconcile with your God. And he's no match for your God. And if you're going to defy the giant in your life, you're going to do it with perspective. But you're not even going to do it with perspective. You're going to do it with progression. You're going to do it with progression. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, our scripture verse that we started with, it says this. It says, it's the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, and he delivered me from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You know how David knew that God was going to deliver him from the Philistine? He had done it before. He knew that God had already delivered me from certain death. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never fought a lion. But I'm not feeling good about it. Especially back then, I mean, he didn't have a shotgun, a rifle. Like, I'd want like an AR or something. I just want to cut him in half with bullets. Like, I mean, he's out there with like a sling, a staff, rock. Like, I'm not excited about tangoing with a lion in those type scenarios. But God had already delivered him from certain death. And he had fought a bear and destroyed the bear. And he knew that God was with him. And see, it's a progression. Our lives are a progression. God takes us through things when we're young and as we mature and as we age so that we can learn that God has never failed us, that God is with us, that God will endure, that God will stand by us, that God will help us through those times. When we feel like we can't make it, we can look back and we can see that God has been with us all the way. God has never failed me, and he's not going to now. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, he defeated the devil. But you know what? He already knew he could do it because he did it in the wilderness. He had already defeated him in the wilderness. And he knew this is just going to be one more slap in your face. He knew he could defeat him. And how are we going to defeat our Goliath, our giant in our life? Through constantly reminding ourselves of all that God has done. Has God done nothing for you that you could not reflect and point back and say, God, I remember when? Have we not piled up stones of remembrance to look back and say, I remember, God, when I was destitute, when I had no way out, when I saw no other way and you solved that for me. You brought me through it, and I know that because you've done that, you will do it again. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I trust you, God. I depend on you, God. Has God done nothing? Nothing. For you that you couldn't point to. John Newton, the writer of the song Amazing Grace, listen to his lyrics in that song. He said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, through many. He said, I've already come. I've already been through all that. And it was grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. You know what he was talking about? A progression. He was talking about looking at the fact that God had done it in the past. He's already brought me through so much, and he can do it now. He can bring me through it now. And if we're going to defy the giant in our life, we're going to do it with progression. But not only that, we're going to do it, number four, with prayer. We're going to do it with prayer. Charles Stanley said this. He said, every great battle is won on our knees. Every great battle is won on our knees. And you know what? That seems to be the hardest lesson for us to learn. Because it feels like in our mind, in our doer mentality, that we're not doing anything. That I need to take it in my own hands and I need to step forward and I've got to power my way through this. And we don't realize that the secret to defeating our giant is right here. It's not going out with our arms up. It's going out with our knees bowed. And we just stop and we bow our head and we cry out to God and we say, God, the battle's not mine. It's yours. It's your battle. And God, I know that you can conquer this giant in my life. David was a praying man. We see in Psalms 55 and throughout the Psalms, but in 55:17, he said, morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He said in Psalms 5:3, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you, and I wait expectantly. I wait expectantly, knowing that you've answered my prayers before, and you'll answer them again. David understood the power of prayer. We remember in Exodus chapter 17, Israel was battling the Amalekites and they were down in the valley. And we remember that's the story where Moses was up on the hillside and he had his arms raised. And as long as he had his arms raised, they were winning the battle. I mean, so much so he had Aaron and Hur on each side because he was getting weary and his arms started doing this. You know, like, I mean, when probably couldn't hold him forever, you know? And so Aaron and Hur were supporting his arms and holding his arms up and keeping him raised up. And you know, the whole story is symbolized that although you think the battle's happening down there, it's really one up there. See, we think the whole battle is right here, what I can see. It's right here, what I can understand and put between my ears. But we don't even realize that the battle's not just that. And it's not just one right down here. It's one on our knees in prayer. It's one on our knees. And that's why we got to pray. We've got to seek the Lord. And if we're going to defy the giants in our lives, because Lord knows you've got them, you're going to do it through crying out to God. You're going to do it from your knees. You're going to do it crying out to Him, because God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. He will not move unless we seek His face. He's told us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? Pray. Not organize a riot, not picket, not march, not sit, not write your congressman. He said, pray. Then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive your sins. And then I'll do what? Heal your land. Well, our land needs healing. But why will God's people not pray? Why does it take so much? Why is it so difficult to pray? I believe our enemy knows the power of prayer. And he makes it the most difficult thing for us to do is to stop, pause, humbly bow our head, and cry out to God. But if we're going to defy the giant in our life, we're going to do it with prayer. Number five, we're going to do it with praise. We're going to do it with praise. David said in verse 47, he said this. He said, today, who will do it? The Lord. I'm going to start giving Him glory. The Lord will conquer you, big Goliath, and I'm going to kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give you the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know what? They're going to know that there's a God in Israel. He was already giving God glory and honor and praise. Not one Philistine was dead at that time. Goliath wasn't dead. His head wasn't cut off. None of the army was dead, but he was already saying, guess what? God's going to do it. I'm going to give Him glory, honor, and praise in advance. I'm not waiting until the battle's won and then go, look at what God did. I'm going to do it right now. When it takes faith in my heart, when nobody around sees it, I'm going to declare the glory and honor and praise of God. Why can't we do that in our struggles, in our battles? We must do the same thing. We must bring our praise and our worship to God before. Amber and the team sing the song. I love the song. It says this. It says, you go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Well, think about it. You go before I even know that you've gone to win my war. I don't even realize it, and you've already gone to win it. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back, and you know what you do? You call it my victory. And all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. And all I did was stay still. Amen. You see, we do all we've got to do is focus our attention on the Lord. We don't know what to do, God, but our eyes are upon you. And we begin to praise. I think about King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 and 21. And we know that in that story, that what he did, they were going to fight a battle, and leading the entire army was the appointed singers. He wanted them to walk ahead of the army. And what were they going to do? They were going to sing to the Lord and praise Him for His splendor. They were saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His unfailing love endures forever. Who would have thought of leading a battle with a bunch of singers? Who would have thought that's the secret? I mean, if I'm that singer, I'm like, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. I'm like, they're about to harpoon me. Like, I'm going down. I'm gonna be the first one. A bunch of cowards. They're hoping they get tired killing us up here singing. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it really cracks me up. It does. But David understood. King Jehoshaphat understood. We're going to win the battle. We're going to defeat Goliath. We're going to defeat him through our praise. And you're going to defeat him yourself through praise. And with praise. But last, if you're going to defy the giant in your life, you're going to do it with permanence. Permanence. See, David put the stone in Goliath's head. He put the stone in his head. And I thought, you know, I originally thought maybe he didn't kill him. But the Bible says he killed him with the stone. But you know what he did? He cut his head off. I mean, he's going to make sure that buddy ain't getting back up. Like, he didn't just pop him in the head with a stone and go, yep, got him. I mean, he's out there just, he's going for it. I mean, he put him away with permanence. And see, if we're going to overcome the giant in our life, we can't hee-haw with him. We do a lot of hee-hawing. We might win a little battle, and then we let him come back. And we win a battle, and then we go back and we play with him again. We don't ever cut his head off. We don't ever just, it's over. I'm done. I'm done. I am done, done. See, Jesus in John chapter 8, he caught a woman in the act of adultery. And he told her, not just that you're forgiven, but hey, don't do it anymore. He wasn't talking about perfection, but he was saying, cut the head off. Don't go back to that same way of life. Don't go running back to those same group of people. How about you change your life? How about you change things up? It was the woman with the alabaster box in Luke chapter 7. It was a prostitute. And she was anointing the feet of Jesus with her perfume. Her perfume that was so costly and expensive, it was the way that she made her living. She used the perfume to become more desirable so that she could market herself and continue to make money. And she said, you know what, Jesus? What you've done for me, I'm not going to need this anymore. I'm not going to need it to make a living like that anymore. I'm going to use it for you. I'm going to pour it out for you. I'm going to pour it on you. Because I'm burning the ships. I'm cutting the head off. I'm done with that way of life. I won't need this perfume for me anymore. I'm going to anoint you. What are we going to do? Are we going to keep playing around with the things in our life? Keep acting like it's not killing us? When are we ever going to just burn the ships? I'm not going back. I'm not going to go back to that anymore. It would be the alcoholic saying, I'm forgiven, but I'm not going back to the bar. I'm not going back to those friends that dragged me down in that direction. I'm not going to live my life without accountability. I'm not going to just stop going to church. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep being there. I'm going to keep living and serving God. And I'm going to press on. And although I won't be perfect, but I am going to keep following Jesus. See, if you're going to defeat your giant in your life, you're going to do it with permanence. I heard the story about the boy. He said he liked to sleep on the edge of the bed. The only problem was every night he'd fall off. Sleep on the edge, he'd fall off. Sleep on the edge, fall off. Sleep on the edge, fall off. Finally, the little boy said, you know what? I'm tired of falling off. And if I'm going to stop falling off, I guess I got to move to the middle. Guys, we got to move to the middle. Get off the edge. Stop trying to see how close you can live to the world. And let's start living for God all the way. It's the secret of how we're going to defy the giant in our life. And you can. You can. Right in the midst of your battle, your giant will fall.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.